AM 1240 WSBC, Chicago. And AM 1470 WCFJ, Chicago Heights.
Well, good morning. It's 9 a.m., and we're calling you to the tee, golfers. The show is Golfers on Golf. You're tuned in for 1 hour of golf talk here on WSBC 1240 a.m. and WCFJ 1470 a.m. And hey, guys, great to be here in the studio this morning to talk a little bit of golf. I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson from the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County Golf Courses, joined by PGA Life member Bill Berger and pizza maker extraordinaire at this point, Bill. Great pizza over at Jake's. And Mike Monroe, the owner-operator of the world-famous White Pines Golf Dome. Well, happy Sunday, guys.
Hey, good morning, Eddie. Yeah.
Good morning, Ed. Beautiful day, huh?
Beautiful day, and hey, I'd be remiss, not that I got a subtle reminder or anything, but you know, we broadcast on Sundays. Of course, last Sunday at this time, the Open, or the British Open, was being played. It looked likely that one Mr. Rory McIlroy would be charging his way to victory, and of course, guys, no signs of falter as he did complete a win in a major championship, and the previous week we had all made our picks. I learned my lesson. Don't let Big John Vick pick first, because a lot of us said he took our pick, and congratulations, producer Big John Vick called it. He said Rory McIlroy, and of course he got that one right, so congratulations, Big John.
I thought he said Rory Sabatini.
Well, I know he didn't say Rory Spears. Hey, speaking of Rory Spears, our fourth longtime Chicago area sports journalist, Rory Spears, has been covering the International Crown. He's on the East Coast this week. And
you think that's why the U.S. lost?
Well, I don't know. We're going to be hearing from Rory Spears in a little bit and talking about what has turned out to be another disappointing result for a Team USA in international competition. So, I know he was there and had some interesting company. Jerry Rich will be hosting the International Crown. When it comes to Rich Harvest Farms, was there getting a bit of a preview and game plan together, and he's been instrumental in trying to generate interest and get this event launched. I think it's been a great event, but unfortunately for Team USA, a early exit. They were the number one seed, and they ended up losing in kind of a sudden-death playoff format, so we'll have to ask Rory more about that.
Yeah, and he's going to be calling us in just about 2 minutes and describing all the action out there.
Well, he's probably covered it all. So, and then, like Mike says, I don't know. He might have jinxed us. I don't know.
We'll get the chance to ask him that in person, and lots more also coming up in the show. We have it's really a busy tournament week here in the Chicago area. The Western Golf Association is hosting one of the most prestigious amateur events and one that's been around for a long time, too, at Beverly, and that's the Western Amateur. We'll be checking in with Vince Pellegrino from the Western Golf Association later in the show. And also, today is the Pro-Am leading into tournament week for the women here in Illinois. It's the Women's Illinois Open, the Phil Kozin Women's Illinois Open, which is played at Mistwood. So Mistwood owner Jim McQuethy will be joining us later in the show to talk certainly about that event, as well as really all the other improvements that we've seen at Mistwood in recent years. The Performance Center, renovations to the golf course done by architect Ray Hearn, actually, the clubhouse, too, is getting redone. So it should be a great conversation.
Yeah, they're doing some great things out there.
With Jim McQuethy. So, guys, with that, I want to just mention our first segment here is sponsored by Arrowhead Golf Club, located on Butterfield Road in Wheaton, 27 holes, and maybe one of the great 19th or 28th holes out in here in the Chicago area. It's arrowheadgolfclub.org for Arrowhead Golf Club in Wheaton. With that, guys, let's jump into our first break, and we'll be back with more Golfers on Golf.
Into some trouble. If you don't chip it out, you'll make a double. But don't worry, I keep swinging. Don't worry, keep swinging.
If you haven't tested your golf game at the Arrowhead Golf Club in Wheaton, what are you waiting for? Now is the time. All three nines are back up and running from the Greg Martin renovation that has the golf course both challenging and more fun than ever to play, even for the higher handicappers. Golfers will enjoy the classic look squared off design tee boxes and the newly redone bunkers with the white tour sand. Want to hit a bucket or get some practice in? Arrowhead has a great practice facility, and Arrowhead is also home to one of the best 19th holes in the Chicagoland area. Enjoy the patio that overlooks the finishing holes of the golf course. So come on out and enjoy the Arrowhead Golf Club located on Butterfield Road in Wheaton. Call 630-653-5800. That's 630-653-5800. Or visit arrowheadgolfclub.org. That's arrowheadgolfclub.org for tee times and more.
DuPageGolf.com is the internet home for the Forest Preserve District of DuPage Golf Facilities, including Oak Meadows in Addison, Maple Meadows in Wooddale, and Green Meadows in Westmont. Enjoy fabulous golf at Forest Preserve prices, including the historic Oak Meadows layout where golf legend Ben Hogan won the 1941 Chicago Open. Learn about DuPage Golf's two 18-hole championship courses, two 9-hole value courses, and our all-grass tee practice range featuring PGA and LPGA golf instruction. DuPage Golf's best internet specials are only on DuPageGolf.com. Find online tee times and more at DuPageGolf.com.
The city of Elgin offers two of the finest public golf courses in Illinois as rated by Golf Week magazine. First, Bowes Creek Country Club, designed by Rick Jacobson, and the Highlands of Elgin by Art Schaupeter. For more on Bowes Creek Country Club, the home of Porter's Pub, and the Member for a Day program, visit BowesCreekCC.com or call 847-214-5880. Or to play the Highlands of Elgin in the scenic quarry holes, call 847-931-5950 or visit thehighlandsofelgin.com.
I mean, I thought it was a great first year. I think the coolest part for me was to be able to see Yanni out there, you know, representing her country, and the Australians. You know, they didn't have the opportunity like we do with Solheim. So I think we succeeded there. I mean, it had a different feel to it than Solheim's, but it had a good feel to it. I think it's an event that has a great opportunity to grow over the years.
I want a new glove. All right, it's 9:08, and you're tuned into Golfers on Golf. The voice you heard bringing us in from the break was Stacy Lewis, who will not be playing today to represent Team USA as part of the International Crown. Team USA was eliminated out in Maryland, but the event's been exciting, and our very own Rory Spears from Golfers on Golf has been there to cover it, and checking in from the media tent at the International Crown in Maryland is Rory Spears. Hey, Rory, we miss seeing you here in studio. I'll go on record saying that. The guys are scoffing a little bit, but hey, thanks for calling in. How's the week going?
Well, it's great to be here. It'll be a little disappointing that Team USA won't be here today, but then again, I have to change that one bit. You know, you just played the soundbite from Stacy Lewis, and the world's number one player is actually, even though the Team USA has been eliminated, she's going to come back out here today, do some media things, and be visible just because she is really excited about this event. And, you know, guys, I'm here in the media tent, and one person that has really been involved in the International Crown, he's also doing an outstanding job on the first tee, announcing all these players. And some of the names might be a little bit of a tongue twister for a few of us, but he has handled them perfectly. And you guys will all know him from the Golf Channel. He's now the Chief Communications Officer for the LPGA, Craig Kahn. And I'm going to hand him the phone and put him on with you right now. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you guys.
Hey, great to be with you, and you know, an exciting inaugural week for the International Crown. Overall, despite disappointment over Team USA, how have the galleries responded to the format of this event?
I think the galleries have been probably one of the biggest stories of the week. You know, we're all excited about the venue, we're all excited about the format, we're all excited about the concept and all that. But you know, we're also the guys sipping the Kool-Aid and pouring it as well. So we need the fans to embrace it. And I'll be honest, it exceeded my expectations this week. You never know
You can build it, and you just don't know for sure that they're all going to come. You're in there to try to promote the event and build the exposure and create that that real happening, if you will, in a market. And we've worked really hard to do that, and the crowds have been fantastic. The first tee experience has been unbelievable. Yesterday was one of the great days in golf, certainly in women's golf. It felt like a Sunday, a Saturday, and a Friday all wrapped into one day. And I know our players are really excited about it, and we are too.
Craig, obviously it's a big disappointment not to have the United States team there. If you would, tell us about the five teams that are remaining and who you expect to win. If you have a, obviously you may not have a recommendation, or but who's left in there?
Well, you've got Japan, you've got Korea, who won the playoff yesterday. You've got Sweden, you've got Spain, and you've got Thailand. I think Thailand was a pick by many early in the week to be a sleeper or going into the event. A lot of people know who the Jatan Yagarns are. They're young sisters, but they've got a lot of talent. Tornanong Patlam and owner and Sadia Bonpat, who actually played college golf at Purdue, are maybe not recognizable names to most Americans, but they are really, really good players. They're highly ranked. They represent Thailand well. And in a match play format, you just don't know. So I don't think anybody's sleeping on Thailand today. I can promise you that. As far as Spain is concerned, I don't think there's a team left in this competition that's tighter, more cohesive, has more fun than that group. Beatriz Ricari, Atahara Munoz, and that crew. Just a real solid group. Seganda, Carlota Seganda has played in Solheim Cups before. And Belén Mota is the only player that hasn't had that experience, but she might be the most fiery of the four Spaniards. They've had a blast. They were in the press room yesterday after the day was over, probably as excited as anybody, and they've been very confident from the get-go about being a part of this whole thing. So I really like Spain's chances today. You know, Sweden, what are you going to say about Sweden? Caroline Hedwall and Anna Nordqvist are just complete superstar golfers. Hedwall never lost a match at the Solheim Cup the last go-around in Colorado. Nordqvist has won twice this year. And then you've got Pernilla Lindberg, who might not be that experienced, but she's had a smile on her face since she got here. And she's with Michaela Parmalee, who's 5 months pregnant and playing like she, wow. Playing like she has just got a ton to prove. She's basically been retired. And yesterday in the press conference said she's rethinking that now. This has been one of those events that's really made her rethink wow. The whole thing. And then lastly, it's Korea. They were the number two overall seed, and we all know how great the players are. So-Yeon Yoo, Inbi Park, the number one player in the world for 59 weeks last year, or a long time, and I.K. Kim, and then Na-Yeon Choi. So today's going to be spectacular. It really is. Wish the Americans were here, no question about it. I actually believe, and I think the Americans would say the same, you put the chip on their shoulder, it'll help grow the event. Obviously, we all wish they were playing today, but this is not an easy deal.
Well, like you say, grow the event. It's been a fabulous showcase. The play has been at a high level, and you know, as this event rolls out, as much as the experience has been great, I know there's always a chance to look at the format. And the same thing happened with the FedEx Cup. There's some tweaks in the way the points might fall. Any talk of that around the site with eyes looking forward to the future of this event?
I would say this. We'll probably make some tweaks to the format. I was in every meeting that we had to build the format in the first place. It was quite interesting. There wasn't one thing we didn't consider, all the way from pool play to what type of match play we were going to play, to how long the days were going to last via sunlight, to how many people could potentially be in a playoff, to how we would run a playoff, to whether we would make it a two-person playoff or a four-person playoff from each team. We'll listen to that feedback. And we've asked every player that's been competing here this week to get some thoughts, put them down on paper, and we'll share them later, and we'll build this thing. But right now, I'll be honest, I haven't found one thing that I've disliked. I know I was a part of the build of it, but I can't find any reason to tell you other than yesterday was as compelling as you could possibly have. Did you expect Korea and the United States, the top two seeds, to be fighting for their lives to play on Sunday? Yeah. Probably not. But at the end of the day, Saturday in prime time to have that was pretty darn good theater. And for women's golf, that's what we need.
I agree with you, Craig. As a former Chicagoan yourself, we've got the tournament coming back to Chicago in a couple of years. How do you think it's going to be received?
Well, you know, I've never been out to Rich Harvest Farms. I'm looking forward to doing that. I wasn't at the Solheim Cup in 09. I know all about Jerry Rich. I've spent some time around him. He's probably got signs up already all over the place. He's probably putting billboards up along 55 South headed to St. Louis. He's probably got billboards on, you know, 280 and 294 and every other thoroughfare in the city. You probably go to Milwaukee on 94, and he's probably got signs there with a big arrow pointing back towards his golf course. That's all good. That's what we're looking for. This event, in my opinion, is going to be big. That's a big-time venue. It's been great for women's golf in the past. You know, as you said, I grew up in Chicago. I went to Lyons Township High School, and I know what golf's like in that community. And frankly, if I'm being completely honest, I think Chicago's gotten a real wrong end of the draw when it comes to professional golf over the last 5 years from the PGA Tour and from golf in general. I think it's a hotbed for golf. The fans are as good as there are in the country. You know, they embrace women's golf. They embrace good golf. And I think it's going to be a home run. We've got an event coming up there. I believe it's August 1st, and Anna Nordqvist is going to take part as we basically launch the International Crown 2016. So we're not waiting long to jump on Chicago and carry the momentum forward.
Well, Craig, congratulations on really a great fest, exciting start to the event this year. We're also very excited about 2016. And, yeah, certainly in this studio, in this room here, and the audience listening, we can't agree with you more. We think that Chicago is a hotbed for golf. And, you know, we miss having the Western Open every year, and we miss having a regular LPGA event here. And we're so excited that we're going to get to see the world's best female players out at Rich Harvest Farms when the event comes here next.
Well, let me tell you something. There isn't a player who sat in the media center yesterday that I've talked to this week that doesn't know about Chicago, that doesn't know about the event, and doesn't know what we're trying to do. And that's grow it. You guys will be a big part of it. We'll work to get some players on for you. We'll work to do whatever we can do to make the thing a success. And it's my pleasure to be with you guys. Thanks for covering women's golf. Thanks for having us kind of be a part of your show today. We appreciate it, and I hope you'll all be watching today on TV to see who wears the crown after the first year.
Thanks, Craig. Hey,
good luck, Craig.
We'll be tuned in.
My pleasure.
Thanks. It was Craig Kahn. He's with the LPGA, and as you heard, obviously dialed in to coming up with this format, this event, getting it launched, and, you know, nice to have a guy from Lyons Township, you know, involved in what's going to be a great event here in 2016.
Right. Craig, as probably a lot of our listeners know, he used to be one of the hosts on the Golf Channel and did a wonderful job, and for whatever reason, he no longer is there, and then the LPGA picked him up as the media director, and he does a great job there as well.
Well, locally, that'll really help, right, Mike? You know, he's excited about, you know, the event, and then being from here, I'm sure that he's going to have a little clout here or there, you know?
You know it. He's, when he used to come into town, I used to play golf with him and Brian Hewitt, and then one of the directors from Golf Channel. He's a wonderful guy, a good golfer. We had some nice matches. And I felt bad when he left the Golf Channel because he was always
Mike's talking about playing golf with you and Brian Hewitt.
A good guy to play golf with.
All right. Well, Rory, do we still have you?
Yes, you do, as a matter of fact.
All right. Well, Rory, we're cruising along here. It's 9:18. I know we've got a few minutes to still talk to you, but been a busy week for you, and coming up next, I know even though you've been off-site, you've been covering tournament week in general. In this show, we still have yet to come Vince Pellegrino from the Western Golf Association to talk about the Western Amateur this week at Beverly Country Club. And tournament week continues also with the women in the Phil Cozens Women Illinois Open.
Yeah, it is a busy week for golf, and tomorrow also a special event on Wednesday through the Illinois PGA, the Senior Masters. They're going to recognize a couple of local section pros in the 50-plus group that have really done a lot for golf over the years. And we'll look forward to being a part of that tomorrow. And then the Illinois Women's Open for the next couple days after that out at Mistwood. And Jim McWethy and Dan Phillips and everybody are pulling that together. There's a pro-am out there today. And then, of course, the Western Amateur tees off on Tuesday. And we'll try to spend a couple days later in the week out at Beverly Country Club watching one of the great amateur championships in all of America come to a conclusion on next Saturday. And whoever wins that tournament has really played some great golf, because there's a lot of golf to play, both in the stroke play format and in the match play format.
Well, great, Rory. We're excited about tournament week. We wish you a safe journey back, and I know that our listeners and ourselves will be following your coverage not only through this broadcast, but during the week at golfersongolf.com, the GOG blog, as it's called, as with frequent updates on everything that is happening in tournament week and everything else between the broadcasts. So, Rory, hey, appreciate you taking time to check in with us. Enjoy the singles matches today.
We sure will. Like Craig said, it'd be great if the U.S. was here, but hopefully it fuels the fire a little bit by the time they get to Rich Harvest Farms. And I know that Jerry Rich is already launching the campaign later this week. I think we've got a player or two coming out to the area, the trophy coming in, the commissioner coming in to meet with some of the media on Friday out in Naperville at what's going to be the main hotel for the 2016 Crown. And they're not going to waste any time getting this thing launched. So I know it's going to be an exciting 2 years leading up to Rich Harvest Farms. So with that, guys, I will let you move on and get ready for Vince Pellegrino, the WGA, and have a great week. Hopefully we'll see you on the golf course one of these days.
Sounds good, Rory. Well, thanks. Travel safely. Again, we've been talking with our very own Rory Spears, who's broadcasting live, checking in with us from the site of the Royal Crown out in Maryland. And also we threw on the phone for us Craig Kahn, who's with the LPGA, and we wish them the best of luck with a great Sunday to wrap up. A reminder, this segment's been sponsored by the Arrowhead Golf Club, located on Butterfield Road in Wheaton. 27 holes renovated by golf architect Greg Martin. Visit arrowheadgolfclub.org. With that, guys, we'll be back with more Golfers on Golf.
Golfers, let's talk about Cantini Golf in Wheaton. The place is a golfer's paradise. 27 beautiful holes, a year-round golf academy, and even a nine-hole course just for kids. The best caddy program around, plus terrific hospitality, are like icing on the cake. For every kind of golfer, including those just learning the game, it's always a great day at Cantini. Check it out. Book a tee time today. CantiniGolf.com. That's CantiniGolf.com.
Golfers, if you'd like to play one of the Chicagoland area's top public golf courses, why not check out Shepherd's Crook Golf Club, located on Green Bay Road in Zion. Shepherd's Crook is a Keith Foster-designed links-style golf course that has been compared to some of Ireland's great courses like Ballybunion, Waterville, and Lahinch. Shepherd's Crook is also easy on your wallet, both on and off the golf course. Whether it's the affordable green fees, food or beverage on the course or in the grill, or great pro shop merchandise. Shepherd's Crook is also perfect for your outing, whether it's for business, charity, or personal. Shepherd's Crook is located on Green Bay Road in Zion, and for more information, you can call 847-872-2080 or visit the course's website at shepherdscrook.org. That's Shepherd's Crook Golf Club in Zion.
The City of Elgin features exciting golf choices for Chicago-area golfers, including the Highlands of Elgin and Bowes Creek Country Club. Play the Highlands of Elgin and discover why Golf Week magazine rates the Highlands as the number one municipal course in Illinois. Visit highlandsofelgin.com on the web or at Bowes Creek Country Club. Public golfers can enjoy top-rate amenities and a member-for-a-day experience. Get ready for great golf and learn more at bowescreekcc.com.
That, I mean, the LPGA is such a global tour, and it's not just USA against Europe like Solheim Cup is. It's seven other countries, and to play this format and match play, I think it got a lot of fans interested. I mean, even just watching since day one as the fan base grew over the last few days, I mean, it was amazing to see, and I think this tournament has a great future ahead.
All right, 9:25, you're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. The voice you heard coming out of break was Lexi Thompson, also playing for Team USA. Actually, well, not playing today for Team USA as part of the International Crown. We just talked prior to the break to our very own Rory Spears, broadcasting from Maryland, called in with an update on the International Crown event. And, guys, it is exciting. You know, certainly a new format. Maybe there'll be some tweaks, maybe not. I know Jerry Rich explained it to us last week, and at face value, the format was a little complicated. But anytime you're going to have an international competition come to your part of the golf world, it's pretty exciting. And to have it at Rich Harvest Farms in 2016 is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Eddie. You know, these days we don't have a lot to choose from in Chicago. We, you know, we get the BMW every second year. We get, you know, a major every 10 to 15 years. So whenever you have a LPGA or a PGA event, it does make it exciting. And I think it's going to even be a little bit more exciting in 2 years with the U.S. being eliminated so early.
You know, watching a tour event and how that, you know, hindsight's better than foresight when they switched the Western and out of here in some kind of rotation a few years ago, that just amazed me that that would happen, Eddie and Mike. What the heck? When you look at a tour event or a European event, there's, unless I'm cross-eyed, there's a difference of a gallery at Cog Hill or at North Shore, and it absolutely amazes me that they would switch something out of here, you know, be the place to gather people, you know.
You know, it was interesting, and I think certainly one of the big pieces of that equation, as you guys may recall, is certainly the FedEx Cup and the playoffs at the end of the season, and certainly, initially, the Western Open, which historically was right around the 4th of July, became an event held in September. And some of the challenges I think it had initially, too, was it went right up against football. So as much as we all know Chicago is a golf town, well, it's a Chicago Bears town, too, and tough to go head-to-head like that. But
you know, especially so early in the season. I mean, with most sports teams in Chicago, you're always revved up. You know, with baseball, it's April. Usually by about mid-May, you're kind of down and depressed. And in recent years, it's kind of been true with football. I don't know if it's going to be true this year, but probably the most exciting time of a football season, if you're a Bear fan, is early September or mid-September, late September. And that's right when the BMW championship is. You know, obviously, if you're a media person, the thing you want to cover is the Chicago Bears. How are they going to do this year? What's going on? Who are the new players? What are the new challenges? And with it being the first or second week of the season, it truly was tough competition. It was hard to get any media attention.
Well, and to your point, Billy, I think when they first started rotating it out of town, you know, the galleries and other sites, when they went to St. Louis or Indianapolis, they had some terrific galleries, and actually, to the credit of the Western Golf Association, who does just a fabulous job raising money to send caddies to school, I believe financially it actually made a lot of sense, and there was some financial benefit to moving around. However, I think, you know, going back, the stability of seeing it as a regular tour event is something that a lot of Chicagoans, myself certainly included, would crave.
Yeah, and maybe a cycle that'll bring it back, you know. Everything looks greener on the other side, you know, the fence. So,
I love seeing it at Conway Farms last year. Of course, yeah. I'm a North Suburbs guy originally, yeah. So it was fun to see it up north after being at Cog Hill for so long. But it would be nice to have some consistency in the long term future.
Yeah. Hey guys, we also had last week. We had what truly is the major championship if you're an Illinois golfer, the Illinois Open, and it was an exciting time. Exciting tournament. We had Brad Hoffinger, who was a former Illinois State amateur champion and was in great contention last year. He ended up winning the event at 6 under par over at the Glen Club, and turned out to be an awfully exciting tournament. He and Travis Johns were basically neck and neck going into the last hole, and Hoffinger bogeys the last hole. He blew it into the bunker right by the green and ended up with a bogey. And then Travis Johns is pretty much looking great. He's in the group following Hoffinger, and he hits a lost ball, loses his ball, and ends up bogeying it with a lost ball penalty. So, exciting tournament. Travis Johns is the head teaching professional over at Medina, a wonderful guy, and you know, he's a fun guy to be around. He doesn't take life too seriously, and I'm sure he was pretty composed even after that lost ball.
Well, and you know Travis Johns pretty well, Mike, from, I think, during the winter you see quite a bit of him at the White Pines Golf Dome, and yeah, talented player and a pretty composed, calm guy. So it sounds like it was a exciting finish, and of course, with the men's championship wrapped up here in Illinois, we have the women's event to look forward to. I know a little bit later, in fact, in the next segment, we'll be checking in with Jim McQuethy from Mistwood to talk about the Phil Cozens Illinois Women's Open, which is going to be coming up. Actually, the competition itself starts tomorrow, Monday. But this current segment is sponsored by Cantini Golf in Wheaton, 27 championship holes and a 9-hole junior course for kids. Cantini Golf in Wheaton. Visit CantiniGolf.com. And hey, guys, during the break, speaking of both of you, it sounds like both of you got out and got some golf in at pretty nice places. You guys were on the tour of what, the private clubs right now? You went, Billy, you were at Bobolink this week. Mike,
really?
Itasca
wow,
Country Club.
Wonderful, Billy.
What the heck? What brought you to Bobolink, Bill?
Well, you know, Pat Kenny's in town. You know, he's going to Wednesday on Monday for he started that Masters tournament for his seniors.
Right.
So he dragged me along with a gracious member at Bobolink. So kind of neat. What a place. I haven't been there in a couple years, and nothing's changed. It's just an unbelievable experience, you know.
Right.
And a good golf course. So.
A wonderful golf course. One of my favorites.
And did you run into the coach? I know Mike Dick is a member up there. Some legendary stories of him and his golf antics there.
The coach was there.
We saw
his bag. but he was in the card room, I think. You know, maybe a little gin rummy for
the coach. Yeah, he enjoys his card games.
He likes his gin, so.
Well, good. And Mike, you were in the western suburbs at what, Itasca Country Club.
Well, I played in a couple of things. I played in the Ridgemore Invitational with my buddy Jim Calero, and we didn't fare that well, but we had a wonderful time with some great people, and always a lot of fun. That was on Thursday and Friday, a 45-hole format where you play 9 holes against 2 other people, and you get points based on how you do against those players. You can win up to 3 or lose up to 3, and unfortunately we had a couple of bad 9 holes and lost 3 points in both of those. If we hadn't done that, I think we would have done okay. And then had an interesting round with another Jim Krumpholz, who runs the Oakton Golf Driving Range, and we played Itasca Country Club, guys. And
wow,
tell me if
that's
tell
my
me,
old
yeah, Itasca.
Yeah, that's right, Billy. You worked at Itasca.
A fun golf course. Tell me if you've ever seen this before. Jim's a fine player, but not a, you know, he's not a tour player. And we get to the third hole, and he's not playing that well, and he chipped it in on the third hole.
It's a good par 4.
Yeah, a good par
about
4.
Like par 4.
Gets to the sixth hole, has about a 30-yard shot. Knocks it in.
Another hard par 3.
Yeah,
190.
Yeah.
And,
so
yeah.
he birdies there, gets to the eighth hole, and you know how difficult that green is.
Yeah.
He's left on the eighth hole, almost an impossible shot. Guess what?
Knocked it in.
Wow. Knocked it, chipped it in. Third chip in, gets to the ninth hole.
No way.
I kid you not. He's got an impossible shot in the bunker, short right. I'm saying to myself, if he can get up and down from here, this would be phenomenal. Just an incredibly difficult shot. Holes it out. Have you guys ever seen...
Four times in nine holes? Wow.
And I pat myself on the back when I get 4 or 5 kick-ins in an 18-hole run.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll tell you what. I mean, most people, if they get 4 chip-ins in the entire summer, they're doing pretty
maybe
well.
Maybe a couple
so
summers.
So 4 times in 9 holes, Mike, I got to ask, were you his partner?
You know what? I was not.
Oh, no.
We were just, actually, I don't even know if we had any kind of game going other than just a friendship game. But that was fun to see.
Just a friendship. I was wondering if there was the rare sighting of the, you know, one of the rarest items on this planet, the Mike Monroe wallet, I thought might have come out at the end of the round. And was there wasn't a wallet sighting.
There was no wallet sighting. In fact, I looked at the two other people we were playing golf with, and Jim's in the sand trap on 9, and I look at them and I shake my head, no, you know, there's no way this guy's going to hole from there. Those guys started looking at me like, impossible. And it was the most phenomenal shot. I mean, it hits about 7 feet short of the pin, and it rolls like it's a putt. Bingo, right in. It went in the middle of the hole. It didn't even go in on the sides. Incredible.
So all these were good. It sounds like all of them were good. I mean, they didn't. None were slam dunks. None were hit the flag and drop.
They were all perfect shots. And unfortunately for Jim, he really had one of his worst rounds of the summer going, other than those four shots. You know, when it was all said and done, he looks at me and says, "Man, Mike, I played terrible today." And I said to him, "I go, well, you maybe didn't play well, but you did something I have never seen in 50 years of playing golf."
Well, that's one of the fun things in golf. There's always something to bring you out and perhaps see something that you've never seen before. So, wow, that's pretty fun stuff. But Billy, something for you and I to aspire to. Four times in 9 holes is. Pretty amazing.
That is amazing. How about the backside? Did the
we kept waiting for him to chip one in on the backside, and actually a couple of times he scuffed him.
the pressure was on. Well, you guys played around with someone who has a round going midway through, they make a hole in one, and what usually happens the next few holes?
Golf is so funny. It will. When you're playing bad, you get aggravated and, maybe a little peeved at times. And when if you play exceptionally good, it gets you so wound up, you can't hardly breathe sometimes. So,
years ago, guys, I'm playing golf over at White Pines. And to this day, I played golf with maybe the worst golfer that's ever played golf in his entire life. If you were to put a number what he shot, and he holed out every shot. I mean, he's not going to pick up anything. He had to shoot 300.
Did you play all 36 holes?
Now, but here's the ironic thing. We're playing the 18th hole. Back then it was about a 470-yard par 5, and he hits his best drive of the day about 130 yards down the middle. And I said to him, I can't remember his name, but I said, "Hey, there you go. That was your best shot." Second shot, it's probably his best second shot of the day, maybe 100 yards. Third shot, he hits maybe 110, 120 yards. He's about 80 yards from the green. He's got a creek in front of the green. Not a very difficult shot. For most people, it would be a lob wedge, right? I think he took out a 5-wood. And he's scuffed it, and the ball, gets up in the air a little bit and bounces over the creek, bounces short of the green, rolls up onto the green, hits the flat stick, and goes in the hole, and he looks at me and he says, "I'll be back."
There's always a shot that brings you back. You're tuned into Golfers on Golf. He's Mike Monroe. I'm Ed Stevenson. Bill Berger with us here in studio. This our second segment has been sponsored today by Cantini Golf in Wheaton, home of the 2014 Illinois State Amateur, and this October, the Chicago Open. So for more information, visit CantiniGolf.com for more on Cantini in Wheaton. But, hey, guys, we're just into the back nine of our show here. Right, we've got another segment coming up. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more Golfers on Golf Radio.
Golfers, let's talk about Cantini Golf in Wheaton. The place is a golfer's paradise. 27 beautiful holes, a year-round golf academy, and even a 9-hole course just for kids. The best caddy program around, plus terrific hospitality, are like icing on the cake. For every kind of golfer, including those just learning the game, it's always a great day at Cantini. Check it out. Book a tee time today. CantiniGolf.com. That's CantiniGolf.com.
The best players in the world will compete at Erin Hills near Milwaukee, the site of the 2017 U.S. Open. In the meanwhile, don't miss your chance to play a public access U.S. Open course. Just a 2-hour drive from Chicago, Erin Hills is perfect for a day trip or an overnight golf getaway with a variety of rooms, suites, cottages, and wonderful food. Visit AaronHills.com for more information and plan a world-class experience.
When you win national awards like Golf Magazine's Renovation of the Year, Golf Digest Best New Course Renovation, and Golf Range Magazine's Top 50 Ranges, you know that you've done something right. Mistwood Golf Club, highlighted by a 67-acre rock-walled lake and St. Andrews-style sidewall bunkers. Mistwood brings a feeling of Scotland to the Midwest. Mistwood's changes include added tour length, completely redesigned third hole with an island-feeling green, new state-of-the-art performance center featuring teaching tools that the tour players use, like TrackMan, Sam Putlab, FlightScope, and Quintech Ball Roll Analysis System. Completely custom fit and built golf clubs. We can match any manufacturer's head with any manufacturer's shaft. Mistwood has the distinct honor of the highest rating for Illinois golf courses by Golf Digest Best Places to Play. Some tee times are available, but they're filling fast, so don't delay. You can book online at mistwoodgc.com or call 815-254-3333. Mistwood Golf Club in Romeoville. Significantly renovated, completely perfected.
You know, I want to be the guy that, you know, that you know, goes on and wins majors and wins majors regularly, wins tournaments. And I'd like to be, you know, I'd love to be in that position. I just want to, you know, think ahead and go forward and try and...
All right, it's 9:40. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio, and that was the voice of Rory McIlroy, the this year's champion of the Open. He won the British Open, as predicted by our producer, Big John Vick, and certainly it was fun to see that get wrapped up last week. Always exciting to see the major championships, guys, and fun to see it played in the UK, see that style of bunkers. You don't always see that around here, although I think the women this week may see some of that bunker styling at the site for the Illinois Women's Open out at Mistwood. And we're very pleased to have on the owner of Mistwood, Mr. Jim McQuethy, joining us here on Golfers on Golf Radio just prior to Illinois Open, Women Illinois Open week coming up. Jim McQuethy, thanks for joining us on Golfers on Golf.
To be here. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Always a thrill, and you know, we look forward. We've had you on time to time, and I know you communicate regularly with our very own Rory Spears, who actually is in Maryland this week covering the International Crown. But once again, it's Illinois Women's Open Week back at Mistwood for another year. It's a great tribute in the memory of Phil Kozin, and should be an exciting tournament week coming up. I believe the Pro-Am kicks off today.
Pro-Am is today. It's sold out. In fact, as soon as we finish this call, I'm going to hop in the car and head out there. So, yeah.
Hey, Jim, if you would, Mike Monroe here. Hey, tell us a little bit about the format when the Illinois Women's Open starts and who some of the past winners are.
Well, it starts today with the Pro-Am, and then we go Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We have 81 players this year. About a third of them are professionals. The other two-thirds, of course, amateurs. We have some past winners. Nicola Jarret is playing this year. She has won twice in the past. Samantha Trajanovic, holy cow, won a couple of years ago. We have Elise Swarthout that won a couple of years ago, as names that pop into mind right away.
Well, a very talented field, you know, I know the event seems to grow in skill and talent, and no small part of that has been really the connection with your venue at Mistwood, and we've had a lot of fun following some of the improvements and renovations there. But coming out of what was a tough winter for a lot of golf courses, how did your new Ray Hearn design fare coming into this golf season?
Mike, we came out incredibly well. I don't know of any course in the Chicago area that came out as well as we did. It goes in large part to our superintendent, Ben Kelnhofer, and maybe a little bit of luck in there, but primarily just the variety of grass that we had, the way it had been maintained. We came out looking beautiful. It's so ironic that some of the greatest private clubs in Chicago suffered the most.
And talking to a lot of people, and including myself, I love your golf course, Jim. Tell us a little bit about it. It's kind of a link-style golf course, but it's a lot more than that, isn't it?
It's a strange blend. It's very Scottish, very linkish. 20 stack sidewall bunkers, tall fescue, a lot of mounding, a lot of interesting wide aprons. And then we throw in a 65-acre lake, as well as several other lakes, as well as several streams. And I don't think there's a single hole in the course you can play without having a way to find some water. So it's a very unusual blend. But I'd say the predominant feature is just pure Scotland. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place. Right now in particular, because the tall rough is a pretty color. And, yep, it's a gorgeous place.
Well, and probably, you know, you mentioned the stack bunkers, and probably nothing in a lot of people's minds symbolizes that more. That must be, the golfers come through, I imagine, a few photo ops as they're playing and seeing the face of some of those bunkers.
Absolutely, and sometimes it's somebody hitting exactly the opposite direction as the hole, because that's the only option they have. And I can speak with experience, or whacking into the side ball and having it come back and hit me. So, yeah, you get some funny circumstances for sure.
Well, Jim, it seems the approach to really the rebirth of the property and the facility as a whole has been sort of a phased approach. You know, certainly a lot of conversation on this show and in the Chicago area about the golf courses we've been speaking about, but also you've taken that a step further and enhanced that with a performance center that really left no stone unturned for someone looking to get out and work on their game.
Yeah, good play on words. There's a lot of beautiful stonework on the building. it is spectacular, and it's functional. I mean, obviously, as an instructional facility, it's at the top of the heap in terms of quality, club repair, club fitting, club manufacture. But we throw a bonus in there, and we have a bar and we're just finishing a complete kitchen, so it can actually be a restaurant as well, or a great place to hang out. Nothing better than hanging out and sitting at a table and having a burger and a beer and have people whacking golf balls about 20 feet from you. What could be better?
Yeah, I agree with you, Jim. The Illinois Women's Open, the actual tournament starting on Monday, we've gotten some calls here in the past about the event. And for people that are interested in going out there and watching it, is there any fee? Just come on out. Are there any limitations in terms of walking around the golf course?
No. It's a very very visitor friendly place. We welcome. There's actually little bits of gallery starting to grow out there as the term becomes more well known. No, we welcome with open arms anybody that wants to come out, and it's really fun to watch. I obviously will be out there a lot of the time this next 3 days. We have the scoring is online. We have scoreboards around the course. So it's a real golf tournament.
Yeah, and you mentioned Nicole Jarret's name. Nicole is one of my favorite people in the world, and she's also a LPGA touring professional. So if you want to see women's golf at the highest level, see a tour player, you could maybe go out and watch Nicole. She's besides being a great player, a great person, she's also a wonderful player.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not agree more. And she's been hanging out at our place a little bit more, obviously getting ready for this. But no, I'm looking forward very much, because an interesting blend of different age players. Nicole is more seasoned. We got a bunch of pretty hot young kids too. So it will end up, I'm sure, with some very good and very fierce competition.
It's 9:48. You're tuned into Golfers on Golf Radio here in studio. I'm Ed Stevenson alongside Bill Berger and Mike Monroe. We have joining us currently Jim McWethy, the owner of Mistwood Golf Club and the site for the Phil Kozin Illinois Women's Open, which starts today with the program. And Jim, I know you're in the Pro-Am, so as you mentioned at the start of the interview, you're going to be hopping in your car soon to go mm-hmm. enjoy this day in the golf course. But before we let you go, we've been talking about sort of the phase of improvements there, and I know that the clubhouse is another piece of that whole equation. Maybe you can let some of our listeners know.
I would love to let you know. I'm very excited about it. Literally about 4 weeks from today, we expect to begin the demolition of the present clubhouse.
Wow.
Everything will be moved out, either down into the performance center or into we have one of these big double-wide trailers that there's going to be setting up in the parking lot. So the old clubhouse goes, and immediately upon its demolition, we'll be starting a new clubhouse, very interesting architecturally. It is 26,000 square feet. That's about triple what we have now. laid out completely differently. It'll be actually two buildings, as you see it from above the ground, connected by an underground storage area, which will house the carts, and locker rooms will be down. The pro shop will be down there as well. So it'll appear as one, or as two buildings, single story from the street, but from the golf course, it'll appear as two buildings, double story. Architecture that will match very closely the beautiful architecture of the Performance Center. Stucco, tile roof, stonework, piece of Scotland, moved over across the ocean.
Well, it sounds awesome, and you know, Jim, in an era where it's popular sometimes to talk about the demise of public golf, I just want to congratulate you on being someone with entrepreneurial spirit, really investing in making sure that there are great venues for this generation and future ones to enjoy. So, congratulations on all the work that you're accomplishing at Mistwood.
Thank you very much. The only way we know how to do things out there is. It's the best way and the right way. Sometimes that's a little bit risky. And don't think I don't wake up sometimes in the morning and kind of wonder, am I really going the right direction here? But I, in my heart, I believe we are.
Great. Well, hey, in the meanwhile, we're looking forward to a great Illinois Women's Open, and we'll encourage our listeners to head to mistwoodgolf.net, where you can not only check in and get updates on the all the details if you're going to head out and see the Illinois Women's Open, but of course book tee times and learn more about the progress and everything else going on at Mistwood.
Hey, technically we changed our website. It's mistwoodgc.com.
All right.
I think you have the one from last year, so I wanted to correct you.
Well, absolutely. We want to get it right. So it's mistwoodgc.com.
Yes,
and absolutely that, and I know a quick Google search for Mistwood and Romeoville will certainly get you there as well. So all roads on the internet leading to Mistwood, and by all means, if you haven't already, please check it out.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck, Jim.
Shoot some good golf, Jim.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. Bye now. Once again, that was Jim McQuethy, the owner of the Mistwood Golf Club and host site for the Illinois Women's Open, hosted in tribute in part to Phil Kozin, who really, as you guys know, was passed away. He was the publisher of Chicagoland Golf, did a lot to really elevate the profile of women's golf in Illinois, and in particular, get that event up and running and to the status that it is today.
No doubt about it. You know, guys, if there ever was somebody who should be in the Illinois Hall of Fame who isn't, it's our own Phil Kozin, a wonderful guy. A lot of people would probably say he was a little rough. Sometimes he was a little abrasive, but he had a good heart and a good person. And personally, I miss him because whenever I'd see Phil, he'd make me laugh, and he would sometimes rub some of the media people and some of the golfers the wrong way. But I sure liked him, and I miss him here. And I think it's great that there's a golf tournament with his name attached to it.
Absolutely. You know, Phil, what you see was what you got with Phil. He was always, back in the day, earlier days of this show, he was always such a remarkable guest because by the time we introduced him and he got his first sentence out, we usually plowed through the first break, through the second break, and signed off. And then he said, "Hey, what, you're kicking me off already?" And when he started talking golf, it outpoured and it never stopped. And he didn't...
He didn't hold back, did he?
He didn't hide his opinions.
No. And they were very strong opinions, and he wasn't afraid to share them. And sometimes, you know, 90% of the people in the world would disagree with him, but he didn't care.
Yeah, he was one of a kind, right?
broke that mold. So a nice tribute to
see. And you know what was really true about Phil, too? He was a hard worker. He would go out to the tournaments. He'd go out to the PGA, go out to the U.S. Open, cover the events out there. He would... you know, even tournaments, the Illinois Open, the Women's Open, the amateurs, you could make sure if you went out there you would see Phil. He covered all the tournaments well. He'd take some great pictures, did a great job with his paper, Chicagoland Golf. And, you know, I miss him. He was something special to Chicago golf. And if you're looking down here, Phil, we miss you.
Yeah, I think one of our partners here on this show is Val Russell. Val Russell is the publisher of the current version, the current edition of Chicagoland Golf, and really great to see that Val's continued that paper on, to see that grow. from the lull that invariably was potentially there when someone like Phil Kozin was taken away from us. So, you know, great to have Val and shows like this to actually cover Chicago area golf and the things that are important to Chicago area golfers.
And you hit it, Eddie. If it wasn't for, you know, this show, if it wasn't for Val, a lot of tournaments, you know, the State Am, the Illinois Open. I went to the Tribune, went to the Sun-Times. Essentially, there was zero information about the Illinois Open, the main tournament for the state of Illinois. And I guarantee you, Val and, you know, Phil in the past covered that tournament
top to bottom.
And so I think the golf community owes, to some degree, people like Val Russell,
A lot of credit. And, you know, I'll say this, too. You know, with Rory Spears, I can safely say this, given that Rory is all the way in Maryland right now, because if he was here in the studio, I might have to be careful to give him a compliment. But Rory Spears covers local golf more so than anybody. And if you know, we often during the show we'll talk about the blog and talk about the news between the broadcasts on golfersongolf.com. But truly, the local media days, no one is going out to get the story and cover these local events more so than our very own Rory Spears. And if you haven't checked it out, you really should. There's a link from golfersongolf.com to Rory's blog. Updates daily, sometimes multiple times per day. And quite honestly, I've heard from other media folks here in Chicago, when they go to get their news on what's happening in Chicago, Chicago area golf, the place they start is Rory Spears' blog, because he's truly out there turning over the stones to cover it.
He's all over the place, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is.
Well, we say that in a few different ways, because he's our friend. But speaking of coverage, on a side note, it was thrilling this week for me to see a national publication come out, Golf Course Industry Magazine. It has a four-page feature article actually written by golf architect Greg Martin, but featured in this national publication about the proposed plans for the Oak Meadows golf course renovation. And it's really exciting.
I've heard of that course.
Have you heard of that place? Of course, Oak Meadows is one of the properties I oversee for the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County. We have some very exciting plans we've been working on with Greg Martin and Engineering Resource Associates to take that property and not only make it a better golf experience, but really improve the landscape. Rebirth of the preserve itself, with enhanced water quality, new wetlands, better upland habitat, and the course will end up being a true tour of a native Illinois landscape when it reopens from these renovations.
And where do we stand with that, Eddie?
Well, our board's going to get a chance to make a decision about some of the funding choices coming up here in the near future. But right now, we're on schedule to go out to bid on construction early next year, and we would by about this time next year, as we get into August, we're hoping to have a contract in place and be breaking ground, be complete with permitting from the Army Corps of Engineers and everything else to accomplish not only the golf portions of this project, but really the natural resource improvements. They're going to blend beautifully with the golf as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that is truly exciting for those people that haven't played Oak Meadows or haven't played the east side of the Maple Meadows golf course, it's one of the most beautiful golf experiences in Chicago. You got Salt Creek that flows through there. You've got these tall, magnificent oak trees. And as you had mentioned to me, Craig Martin has some incredible land to work with.
We're very lucky. In an area that is otherwise really in close proximity to Chicago and O'Hare Airport, there is a piece of land that, if you look at the savannah, the prairie, the upland, the riparian areas within that, it truly is a classic Illinois landscape and a gem as far as this 288-acre property. Of course, when the routing was originally done in the 1920s with Salt Creek through there, there was less flooding, less development at that time. And what we ended up with were some golf courses that, when we do get these modern-day flood events, the flood events will interrupt golf there. So we came up with this idea. You know, we know we're supposed to hold stormwater and protect the local communities in that capacity, but it's hard to do that and play golf at the same time. And Greg Martin and the engineers have done a fabulous job of figuring out a way to make the golf course flood-proof, flood-resistant, and actually do a better job of being a wetland area and hold stormwater and do all these other benefits for the community. So We're really excited. Golf Course Industry Magazine, the July edition. There's an article by Greg Martin. Check it out if you head online to Golf Course Industry Magazine. In the meanwhile, guys, we're about out of time. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to Golfers on Golf Radio. Thanks to Big John Vick for spinning the dials and making us sound good. And thanks to all our guests. So
we'll never give him another choice. He's too good.
Big John's the best.
And, he is the best.
Thank you, our listeners. Check us out online. Read Rory's blog. It's at golfersongolf.com. Have a great week and play well. From the best peak to the last creek, from the left side to the right side, gonna try another swing today. I love to play.